thousand-year rule and reign of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. He'll be here for 1,000 years in person. Now, it's not. If you go back to chapter 19, you'll see where he comes riding a white horse. And he's wearing a sash that says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's wearing a vesture dipped in blood, his own blood, that he shed on Calvary's cross so we could be saved. And all that represents something. And then, but the reason he's coming back, not like he did the first time. Now, the first time he came as a little babe in a manger. He came to be a suffering servant. He came to be the last in line. He never put himself at the front. He always put himself at the back. He was a servant. He came as the Lamb of God to die for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Now this next time he's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. He's coming to bring judgment. Now that ain't the end of it. A lot of people stop right there. That's not the end of it. That's just the beginning of 1,000 years. Amen. And we're going to rule and reign with him. But if you look at Revelation chapter 20, 1 through 8, I want to show you a few things about that, and we'll go home and eat peanut butter and banana and sing like Elvis. Chapter 20 says, And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Boy, that's exciting. Yes, sir. Old Billy Sunday said, I hate the devil. He said, I hate the devil. He said, I'm going to hit him as long as I got a fist. And he said, then when my fists wear out, I'm going to kick him as long as I got feet. He said, I hate that old devil. I hate that old devil. And when my feet wear out, I ain't got no more fists, I ain't got no more feet. He said, I'm going to bite him till I ain't got no more teeth. I hate that old devil. He said, and then when all my teeth fall out, I'm going to gum that booger to death. He hated the devil, amen? I hate him too. He ain't never done nothing good for me. And for 1,000 years, he's going to be chained up. But that's not the end of the story. Let's keep going. And cast him into the bottomless pit. And shut him up and set a seal upon him. They sealed that thing where he couldn't get out, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. I want you to notice he deceives the nations. He deceived those Muslim nations. Those people are deceived because of the devil. And in America, it's becoming deceived. And listen, he's going to be locked up where he can't deceive the nations anymore. Amen. And then I want you to notice this verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. Well, that's going to get those people said, you can't judge me, ain't it? Yeah. And judgment shall be given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. In tribulation period, you say you believe on them, they'll cut your head off. By the way, they do that now in Muslim countries. They're doing that right now in Muslim countries, brother. That's exactly what they'll stone you to death, behead you. And for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That was their reward. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the land of the sea. That sand of the sea, that's the battle of Armageddon. Now, most people stop right here. They stop. But there's a lot more to it. Now, tonight we're going to stop here, but next week you come back. Now, like I said, we preached on the rapture of the believers. We call it the church. And we preached on the bride and the bridegroom being united in heaven and us having the supper of the Lamb, the bride feast. We preached on that. And we preached on the tribulation period a little bit. And now we've come to the end of the tribulation period. And now Jesus is coming back. The world's been through hell on earth for 7 years. And the devils have been loosed out of hell. The river Euphrates dried up. And the creatures that we've never seen who have been reserved in hell just for that purpose are going to be let loose and turned on men. Men will seek death for 6 months and they can't die. He'll cut his wrist and can't die. And then finally, right at the end of it, when it looks like the worst has already happened, nothing else can happen, the sky breaks open and out comes a man riding a white horse and a big old sash, and the armies of heaven, us, are following him on horses. Yeah. Boy, you're talking about learning how to shout. Wednesday night we talked about shouting. I bet there's going to be, the old rebels used to have rebel yell when they attacked. Do you remember that, brother? They had that rebel yell. Can you do that rebel yell, rebel? Grandpa, can you do that rebel yell? You don't do that rebel yell? Do it. Do it again. Yeah. There's going to be thousands of us coming down through the sky riding horses going, amen. Holding that sword. Amen. And we're going to rule and reign with them for 1,000 years. Amen. And boy, a lot of people think it's over, but it ain't over yet. It's a long way from over. Amen. And so we're going to do that. But then at the end of it, he's loosed again after 1,000 years. You say, preacher, why would God do that? Well, during those 1,000 years, there's still human beings on earth besides us glorified. And they're having babies. And they've got to make a choice. Do they want to follow Christ or not? He's going to make them live right. But they got to die right. So they're going to have to make a choice, and God's going to have to give them a choice to be a just God. So he turns the devil loose, and the devil tempts them, and guess who they follow? You'd think it'd be Jesus Christ who ruled and reigned in peace for 1,000 years. Instead, a lot of them's going to follow that old serpent. And then we'll get to the end next week. But I want you to notice some things about this millennial time. Number one, Isaiah 32:1 predicted it. Look in your Bible, Isaiah 32:1. Amen. Isaiah 32:1. The Bible, hey, this ain't something we made up.
That's right.
This ain't something some Baptist preacher sat down one night and said, I'll scare these people into heaven. No, sir, this is Bible doctrine. Look at Isaiah 32:1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. And princes shall rule in judgment. That's a prophecy of the King Jesus. Amen. Now, he's not king now. Is he? He's not over in Jerusalem ruling from the temple now. There's no temple there to rule from, right? So this is prophecy. He's coming. And by the way, I saw the other day that there's several groups of Jews. Some are not believers, some are great believers, some just barely believe. But those who are very extreme in their faith have rebuilt the altar of offering, where they offer the lambs and the sheep. They've rebuilt it. And they wanted to put it on Temple Mount, but the Israeli government wouldn't let them because they knew the Muslims would riot if they did. So they put it on the outside of the Eastern Gate, which is closed if you didn't know. And they put that altar out there, and it's the exact size of the Old Testament altar that's described in the Old Testament. These Jews followed it to the letter. And then they said they were going to offer a bullock on there. You know, a bull. And the Israeli government said, no, you can't do that. That's too big a deal. And they said, we're going to start daily sacrifices again. This world needs blood, because without shedding the blood, there's no remission. And we need to pray and shed blood that God will heal our land and heal our world. And the Israeli government said, no, you can't do that. That'll cause too much disturbance. So they made them move it to another town where they let them make offerings of sheep and goats. But I'm telling you all that to tell you this. They're getting ready for their king to come back.
Amen. Yeah.
They're looked at now. They missed him the first time. We know that. But they're getting ready for him. They think it's his first time coming because they're looking for him to come as it was prophesied as king.
Amen.
They never did believe he would come as a baby. They want him to come as a king and set up rule on planet earth and rule and reign from Jerusalem. Now, the Jews getting ready for it. What's the Baptist doing? They're playing with the rock band on Sunday night. Amen. I better go on.
Come on.
Listen, this was predicted.
Yeah.
Isaiah was 600 years before Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he wasn't talking about the virgin birth. He was talking about the king coming.
Yeah.
Amen. So this ain't something we made up. It's not something we used to scare people, though it ought to scare people.
Right.
First time I heard about it scared me. I remember when I was under Holy Ghost conviction, those 3 years, I had nightmares about Jesus coming back. Some of you probably had the same thing. I dreamed he'd come back. My wife and kids got to go. I had to stay behind. And I'd wake up cold sweat, man, scared to death. It ought to scare some people. If you lost, it ought to scare you that God's coming back. Amen? Because he's fixing to come back. Amen? And now I want you to notice this. Look at Luke 1. We were over that way today. Look at Luke 1, verse 32 and 33. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. It says, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
Amen.
Look at this. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. That means the whole world. Now he's going to rule over the house of David. That's the family he comes out of. But he's going to rule over the whole world. Of his kingdom there will be no end. Now right now you can go to some countries, his kingdom ain't there. There's hardly anybody, if anybody, that's a believer in some countries. But in some, like ours, it looks like, you know, he might be in control sometime. But there's coming a day when he's going to come and he's going to take control of all of it.
Amen.
Those that believe and those that don't. He's going to take control of all of it. And he is a king and he has a throne. It's not symbolic. It's not some kind of figure. It's a fact.
Amen.
He's going to be a king that sits on the throne in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule the world from Jerusalem.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I don't believe that. That won't change a thing because you don't believe that. Well, I believe... some people say, well, that's the Pope. No, the Pope was the one that was on it, wasn't supposed to be on it during tribulation period, the Antichrist. This is the Christ we're talking about. Amen? Amen. Now, so we've got a king and we've got a throne and he's ruling from the family of David. Now I'm getting somewhere. Hang on there. Okay. Now look at Psalm 72. I'm not going to read the whole psalm. We'll skip through it. Psalm 72, but you ought to read the whole psalm.
Yeah.
It'll help you. But for sake of time, I'm going to read Psalm 72. Now I hope you got your nap today. If you didn't, I'm going to wake you up while I'm preaching, okay? That little boy this morning thought he was going to sleep on my preaching. Psalm 72. Look at verse 1. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. Look at verse 4. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. The children of the needy, that was us. And break the oppressor, that's the devil. Now for sake of time, skip down to verse 7. In his days shall the righteous flourish. Well, that's the only happening now, is it? The righteous are persecuted now. The righteous are put down and belittled and deprived and everything else. But in his day, the righteous will flourish. That'll be the big crowd instead of the little crowd. Right now, the righteous is probably about 10 or 20% of the people on planet Earth. But one day, we're going to be on the head, not the tail. Amen?
Amen.
And verse 7, in his day shall the righteous flourish and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. I like that. As long as there's a moon and he's on planet Earth, we'll have peace. You say, well, preacher, there'll always be a moon. No, there won't. You come back next week, I'll show you there won't be a moon at one time. But while he's here, there's going to be a moon. As long as that moon shines, we'll have peace. Now, you know, that's what people talk about they want all the time. We spend billions of dollars up there at the United Nations, wasted, in my opinion, because they just sit around and talk about peace all the time. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. There'll not be peace on planet Earth until the Prince of Peace shows up. Lost men will fight. Lost men will fuss. Lost men will steal and greed and lust and anger. That's what lost people do until the Prince of Peace comes back to rule with a rod of iron.
Amen.
But I like that, as long as the moon endures. Amen. Then look at verse 8. And he shall have dominion also from sea to sea. Well, don't stop there. And from river unto the ends of the earth. In other words, there's not a sea, there's not a body of water, there's not a river that you can walk to or ride to that he will not be in control of between those two destinations anywhere on planet Earth. From the Catawba River to the River Nile. Amen. And from the River Nile to the Black Sea, and from the Black Sea to the Arctic and the North Pole, and from North Pole to the South Pole, wherever there's water, hey, from here to there, he's going to be in control. Amen. I mean, that's enough to make a Marine shout. Amen. Now I want you to notice verse 9. And they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him. Now what does that mean? That means the uncivilized people. People that right now they're worshiping monkeys and goats and snakes and everything else. Those that live in the wilderness, one day those people will bow to him and him alone. I like that.
Amen. Yes.
You ever notice over in India, those temples, they feed the monkeys and starve the children?
Right. Yeah.
They won't kill a cow, but they'll throw their baby into the crocodiles. That's heathen. Amen. But one day, even those people are going to admit that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Amen. And then verse 11, he said, yea, all kings shall fall down before him. Well, you know, a lot of people in this world think they're somebody because they wear a little crown or sit on a little throne. They've got a little position of authority. They think they're somebody. But I got news for you. One day when Jesus gets back, every one of those people will have to bow to him. You know that old mean boss man you got, that little king at your job? He's going to have to bow to him too. Amen? Every knee shall bow. It don't matter if it's an Egyptian king who sells us all. He's got to bow. Amen? Or some old Muslim heathen. They're all going to bow. And look at the rest of that verse. And all nations shall what?
Serve
him. Serve him. I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, it didn't say if they want to. It said they will.
Amen.
Hey, you go to Saudi Arabia right now and talk about Jesus, you'll get hurt.
Yep. Yeah.
They're not going to serve Jesus. But after he comes back, they will.
Yeah.
They're going to serve him then. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. One more verse in this chapter. Verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. Now we had the moon, now we got the sun. As long as there's a sun, the name Jesus Christ will be glorified on planet Earth.
Amen.
Amen. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. It's all about him. Now, when he comes back, that's the kingdom that he's going to have right there. That's the character of that kingdom. And if you don't like Jesus, you're not going to have a real good time living in that kingdom. But the Bible says you're going to do it anyway. Now, right now, they make fun of us. They call us ignorant. Bible thumpers. I've heard that many times. Them old ignorant Bible thumpers. That's what they call us. So they believe the Bible. They done gone religion crazy. They go to church all the time. They won't pray out loud. They embarrassing us. They say they believe the Bible. They quote Scripture. Well, I've got news for you. There's coming a day when Jesus gets back. They're going to have to believe it too. And they're going to have to listen to it too. And look, let me tell you something. All nations shall call us who are redeemed and come back with them blessed. They won't be cursing us anymore. They'll be saying, watch out for that crowd over there. Jesus takes care of them. Amen. 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 Look at Revelation 20 again. Revelation 20. You still with me?
Yes.
Amen. Revelation 20. Let me get back over there. Now, if you preach this a lot of places, they say you were crazy. They'd say all that's symbolic. They'd say it's not literal. You can't take the Bible literally. They'll say, what are you? Are you one of those people that believe that all the Bible's true? I said literally.
Amen.
Oh, you believe all the stuff in the Bible? Every jot and tittle.
Amen.
Amen. I was on a plane one day going to Chicago, going to pastor school, first time I went. And I didn't pay for it. Another man paid for it. And this rich woman sat beside me and she wanted to know where I was going. I told her where I was going. She said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. And I was young. I was real young. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She didn't know I wasn't much of a preacher, but I was so young. But she said, oh, you're one of those conservatives like we see on television. I said, I make those people look like liberals. I say, I believe every bit of it. I believe it all. Amen. I believe it from kiver to kiver. I even believe the kiver where it says Holy Bible. Amen. And look, there's coming a day where they're going to have to honor us for believing that. Right now they make fun of us, but the day's coming, they're going to have to honor us. You say, preacher, you're scaring me. Well, get in. You won't be so scared.
Amen.
It's always scary watching the plane take off and land when you ain't on it. Once you get on, find out how easy it is. It ain't that scary. Now I want you to notice Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Now I want you to notice this. This, would you agree with me? These are saints. We don't ask the Catholic Church to name saints. God does that.
That's right.
As soon as you got saved, you became a saint.
Right.
There's Saint Ron and Saint Mary and Saint CJ. There's Saint Jeffrey. Amen. Now, God done that.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for some pope. There ain't no hope in the pope. Amen. My hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And these people got saved. They got born again. And the Bible says he is going to reign, in other words, rule with them. Now, rule is something that we might say a governor does or a president does. But to reign, that's something that a king or a prince or a princess does. That's why he says rule and reign. We're going to be kings and priests and princes and princesses, and we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years.
Amen.
I don't know where you come from. I come from Lancaster. I'm asking, can I have Lancaster? There's a lot of straightening out needs to be done down there in Lancaster. Amen? All the way up through the frog leg, they call the panhandle up there. Amen. And I want a big old iron rod to go through Lancaster and straighten that mess out. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe you need one for Clover. Maybe you need one for wherever you come from. But we're all going to do it. We're going to rule and reign. In other words, we're going to be treated with honor instead of looked down on. Come on. You say, preacher, it ain't right to think that way. That's the way to think. Right now, we're servants. But one day, we're going to be ruling and reigning with them. Why? Because we followed him. We didn't rebel. We didn't go against him. We became disciples and we followed him. So during this 1,000 years, now think about this. We're not going to die because we're living in glorified bodies. We got glorified at the rapture.
Yeah.
Our soul, body, and spirit were put together in an immortal. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said this mortal must put on immortality.
Yeah.
Amen. And he said this corruptible has to put on incorruption. So at the rapture, we're going to get that done. And then when we come back, we're immortal. We're incorruptible. We're immortal. We're going to live long as God lives. We've got a body like Jesus Christ. And so we're going to rule and reign with him. And don't you think some honor will come with that? These old worldly people that's being born during that 1,000 years and the ones that were left behind after the tribulation period, they were allowed to live. Only 1/3 of the earth to get that. And they're still here. Don't you think, boy, I wish I'd have got in when he got in. Boy, I wish I'd have got saved when she got saved. Look at them now. The Lord honors them. He lets them rule and reign with him. Man, y'all ain't getting it. Some of you got you jump a pew. Now, Isaiah chapter 65. During this 1,000 years, you need to know this. Isaiah 65, verse 18 and 19. Isaiah 65, verse 18, 19. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For, behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, neither the voice of crying. At last, that song, Peace on Earth and Goodwill to Men, we finally get it.
Amen.
We finally get our peace.
Yes.
We're not just talking about peace of no war, we're talking about peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart, peace in our personal lives. Amen. And we'll rejoice in that. It's hard to get a bunch of church members stirred up nowadays.
Yes.
Y'all watch so much science fiction, play so many video games.
Right.
It's hard to get a tear out of you after you watch, what's that woman's network all week long? Lifetime and Hallmark. Y'all been watching that thing crying all week. And then the preacher gets up here and preaches crying, wail, and you're crying out. Many a truth is said in jest. You take that for what you want to. Amen. But look, we're finally going to have that peace. It was predicted that he would rule and reign. The king is sitting on his throne.
Amen.
The kingdom has been established and is peaceful. We're ruling and reigning with him as saints of God. And now finally, there's peace on earth and goodwill to men. Now, we sing that now, but that's not going to happen until this happens.
Amen.
As long as there are unbelievers on planet Earth and carnal Christians, there will be no peace on planet Earth until Jesus comes back.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. And then can you imagine this? Peace for 1,000 years. Some of you never thought about this, but we've never lived in a time of peace. There's never been, even in America, there's never been a time that there was not war or conflict somewhere going on sometime. The world would have destroyed itself in World War I if it had not been for the grace of God. And then less than a generation later, World War II, it would have destroyed itself if it had not been for the grace of God. And then not a generation later, the Korean War. And then not a generation later, the Vietnam War. And then all those other little skirmishes. And then Iraq and Iran and I can't even name them all anymore. Kuwait, Baghdad, all these things. And it goes on and on and on. Now we live in peaceful little old South Carolina. And the world's being blown up all around us. Have you ever wondered this? Why does God let it happen over there and it doesn't happen over here? It's because of believers.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
You don't remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham tried to make a deal with the Lord. He said, Lord, there's 50 left down there. And he knew Lot went in. Lot took his whole family of righteous people when he went in.
Yeah, right.
He thought, sure, there's 50 of them left down there. Lord, there's 50. Will you spare it? He said, I'll spare it for 50. Now, you know Abraham was the first Jew. He Jewed him down. He said, Lord, what about 40? There might not be 50. How about 40, Lord? There's just 40. Well, he said, I'll spare it for 40. Then he got to thinking, you know, Lot wasn't that good a preacher. He thought, well, Lord, how about 30? And he kept going down until he finally got down to 10. And he said, Lord, if there's just 10 people in there, maybe Lot and his near relatives, would you spare it for 10? And you remember the Lord said, yeah, I'll spare it for 10. Out of a city I've read was 2 million, 3 million people. He was going to spare it. Now let me tell you something. God has spared America many times because of a handful of believers. Now the lost ones don't know that. They'll blame it on the army, a president, politics. But we know, you and I, as long as there's believers, God will spare places. Amen? Some of your families have been spared because you're a believer.
Amen?
Amen. Your family would already been in hell if it wasn't for your faith. Now, it's going to be peaceful. You won't turn on TV and see wars and fighting and killings. You won't see nobody coming home with a flag draped over a coffin anymore. And for 1,000 years, there'll be peace. And we'll be a part of it. And we will help to encourage it. And we will help to promote that peace. And as believers, are not we peacemakers? Come on. Well, I can't stand here some preacher get up, you know, and I joke about things, you know, but I don't ever get serious about shooting nobody or nothing like that. That's crazy. Talking about shooting people. We're supposed to be peacemakers. It's coming. And then last but not least, Revelation again, chapter 20 again. Revelation chapter 20. Sometimes I preach too long and I'm worried about the peace will be gone here before we go home. I look at people's face and I think, boy, they can't take a little preaching. Revelation chapter 20. You get between a Baptist and Kentucky Fried Chicken, you're in trouble. Well, what was that other place? The Long Branch. What was that place y'all went to? What? Go. Country Corral. Oh, the Golden Corral. I'm sorry. You get between a Baptist and the Golden Corral, you might get hurt. Amen? A buffet anywhere. You might get buffeted if you get in front of the buffet. I got to stop right here and tell this story. Can I stop right here and tell a story? Story number 25. Went to the China something there on Cherry Road. What was that thing on Cherry Road? You used to have it. What? No, the big one. The China Buffet down there at Love's Plaza or whatever they call it. What? No, on Cherry Road. Where y'all live at? On Cherry Road, there used to be a Chinese restaurant. Let me tell the story. I done got y'all completely. I've stirred up your bad memory. We went in that Chinese restaurant. It was a buffet. I liked it. I like Chinese. I love Chinese. Danny says they cook cat. It's the best cat I've ever eaten in my life. Amen. Frog legs, cat, whatever they cook. If you cook it, it tastes like that, I'll eat yours. your cat, your dog, it don't matter to me. The Bible says if you ask a blessing over it, there's nothing unclean. Some of you women going. It's gluten free. I don't even know what gluten is. And I don't care. All right, let me get back to my story. We went in there, we were all in that back room, you know, and we was in that back room and together, and everybody getting, I'm going in there, you know, right here was a big long buffet. Big long. And over here was the sushi, you know, fish bait. Wrapped up in bread and wrapped up in something else, I don't know. That little boy, he was up there going. About 8 or 10 years old. I walked over and I said, son, you know that's raw. It hadn't been cooked, right? He said. And the tailors probably came and ate it later. Amen. Oh, where was I? Oh, yeah. Revelation chapter 20, verse 3. Look at verse 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. You know what it means? Did your mom ever make preserves? Do y'all Yankees know what preserves on? Do you people from California know what preserves on? Here's how my mom made them. We didn't have enough money to buy those mason jars, so we saved our peanut butter jars, our mayonnaise jars, whatever kind of jar it was, we'd save it. And Mama would cook that stuff. She'd cook. We had a garden. She'd make vegetable soup every summer, and she'd put it in those jars. And she'd make preserves. She'd make all kind of preserves. You know, she'd put them in those jars. And I'd watch her. She'd take wax. She'd melt wax, and she'd pour it over top of that. And it would seal it shut, and then she would put the lid on it. And it stayed good. We'd eat that stuff a year or two later, man. It was good. But she sealed it. So what you got to think about when you think about this, you think about he didn't just throw him in the lake of fire. He didn't just shut him up. He sealed the stinking door. Amen? I like that. He didn't give him no light at all. You ever been in a dark room where there wasn't no light at all? I mean, a door that sealed shut. That's what he did. He sealed him shut. And I want you to notice this. That he set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Well, he shut him up so he couldn't deceive people anymore. As long as he's alive and well and wandering about around the face of the earth, he's deceiving people. Yes. And boy, ain't he working today. What they used to call bad is now called good. What they used to call heathenism now called Christianity. Yes. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Look at the last part of that. He said, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. I know the devil probably don't bother you. But he bothers me. He's hurt me. He's used lost people to hurt me. He's used Christians to hurt me. Yeah. The devil did that. They didn't do that. The devil did that. I don't hate those people. I feel sorry for them that they could be deceived to hurt other Christians or to hurt Christians at all. I don't get mad and get even. I ask the Lord to open their eyes so they can see what they've done. And I've seen him do it. I've had people come back to me and apologize for what they'd said or what they'd done. Come to me and years later, walk up to me in a meeting or something and apologize. Brother Allen, I've had some of that crowd you was talking about earlier come over here and apologize. Don't worry, they ain't joining. But I enjoyed the apology anyway. Amen. Now, as long as the devil's around, he's hurtful. Now, we might hurt each other, but it's the devil that caused it. Old Flip Wilson used to dress up like that black woman. She'd say, the devil made me do it. Now, he was doing that trying to be funny, but it's the truth. Anytime you're deceived, the devil did that. Your wife's not your enemy, it's the devil. Your husband's not your enemy, it's the devil. That school teacher, that Sunday school teacher, that poor preacher, not your enemy. It's the devil that's your enemy. He's the one that's deceiving you. Little boy come in here today. He'd been over here twice. First thing he said was, "Preacher, your hair's messed up. You need to fix your hair." About that tall. And I thought, "You little devil." But then I said, "Thank you, son. Nobody else had the guts to tell me that." "Well, I'm sorry, everybody can't have hair like yours." I've seen him with his hair messed up. I went to the hospital. I went to his house. You ain't never seen such a mess. You ever seen Barney Fife when he's been kissing on his girlfriend? That's the way his hair looked when he was sick. But then I looked at that little boy. I said, "Thank you, son. The Lord sent you here to tell me that." I went in the back and fixed my hair real good. And I asked one of my church members, I said, "Why didn't you tell me that?" He said, "We just figured it ain't no use. It's always messed up." He really told me that. But you know what? This coming day, our old adversary, that devil, will be bound up. Hey, they won't be no... Hey, listen to me. There won't be any criticism of you anymore.
Amen.
"Josiah, what are you doing back there, son? There ain't enough combs in the world to help that head." The boy combs his hair with a brick every day. No, it don't. Go ahead, I got the pulpit. Listen. I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth. The devil will deceive you and tell you that old preacher don't like you. And I don't even know what you're talking about. I've had people come up to me and say, "Preacher, you was preaching right at me today." I said, I don't know. I'm just preaching. If you got that, that came from the Lord. Amen. I'm not your enemy. Now, if I ever get up here and tell you smooth things and try to make you impressed by me or by my wife, a $200,000 foreign car, now that's the devil. That's the deceiver. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, some of y'all must watch that guy. I'm going to say it again. Amen?
Amen?
You better not be watching that crook. There's another one on there. He said the Lord told him that we were supposed to buy him a new, a $5 million jet. What? $65 million jet. We know who you've been watching. Go ahead, boy. Amen. His name's Jesse the Planet. I know who you're talking about. It's right. That's right. Now, that's the devil. That's the devil deceiving you. When you look across the room over here and you feel like this and over here don't like you, that's the devil. That ain't them. That's the devil. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And this is you look over here and see somebody and you think they're talking about you. They're not talking about you. That's the devil.
Right. Come on, brother.
He's caused all the conflict. He causes all the heartache. He causes all the disappointment, all the gossip, all the lies, all the deception. And thank God one day he's going to be chained up for 1,000 years.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, if you ever hear I said something bad about you, come ask me. I'll tell you the truth. That's what you'll do. Somebody come to you and say, "You hear what old Dan said about you? You hear what Brother Ron said about you?" You say, "No, I didn't hear that. That's the devil. I'm not hearing that." If Ron wants to say something about me, he'll come say something to me. Come on. The old devil's destroyed more churches, more homes, more marriages, more children. Amen? Because he's a deceiver. I got news for you. We're going to have the best 1,000 years on planet Earth. We're going to have the best 1,000 years of history that this old planet has ever known.